What's up, guys?
Welcome back to Trooper Archives, guys.
Yep, we are back with what are we doing today, Gabe?
Yes, this is kind of off from our official season of we're kind of going off topic with our current season of A New Hope, and because of the times, you know, we're gonna go with the new show Andor. Yes. Andor, all right, so finally, yeah, we're going to be able to talk about it after watching it. Did we watch it last night? Was it last night?
I think we watched it last night.
The other day. Yeah. So Andor has premiered September 21st of this year. And so what do you think, Ace, about the series?
So, yeah, okay.
The first episode, yeah, at least.
I just wanted to say how I felt before watching, in the anticipation of the series. Now, what's good about Andor as a series was I had... Not to insult the character, but I had low expectations just because, you know, I'm a fan of Star Wars because mainly of the Jedi's and, you know, their religion,
Sith,
and their Sith and the lightsaber fights and the action. But admittedly, I'm also a big fan of Rogue One and also of the Solo movie, which hardly had any lightsabers in it. So I had not very high expectations, but I also wanted to expect like a really good series from Disney on this one. How about you?
For me, I really like, just like you, I really like the lightsabers, you know, the Force, the concept of it, you know, the Luke, the Skywalker saga in particular. We didn't have a shortage of that. But yeah, when this was released and, you know, when this was announced that we're going to have, a series for him, Cassian specifically, I kind of expected that it will be just like the other, series, like The Mandalorian or The Book of Boba Fett. But then again, when I watched it with you last night or the other day, it was totally different. You know, it was total different, and the foreshadowing nitpicks of the other reactors and the other creators of other articles about the show kept pinpointing on the fact that this is a very political series, which is Star Wars has its own fair share of politics. You know that. And the Star Wars politics I kind of liked began in Star Wars The Clone Wars, wherein we see episodes diving into Senate sessions. It was boring as hell for others, but it was good for me because I really like how, you know, this is, you know, the reason why there is war in the galaxy, you know? As we said in the main season in A New Hope, in one of the episodes, that we don't just start a war just because someone dislikes someone. There is a very political reason behind it. And I think this is a good series that justifies Rogue One, the movie, and the original trilogy in particular. So, okay.
Let's get into it.
So let's dive into it. Yeah. All right. So first scene was in Morlana 1. All right. So Morlana 1, if you don't know, for those who don't know, is the planet that is controlled by the Primor. Was it the corporate?
It's a corporate company. Entity, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a company that, for me, because... I think you mentioned it while we were watching that you like how this show doesn't really explain stuff. It's just showing us everything. Like, we don't have any background on the new characters other than Cassian himself, because this is like a prelude to Rogue One. So it is 5 BBY, and we are in Morlana 1, the corporate planet, headquarters planet of the Primor corporate. I don't know. To be honest, there's a lot of question marks. Yeah, we don't know yet. So, notably, in 5BBY, there's a lot of things that happened. One is Ezra from Star Wars The Rebels joins the Spectres at this time.
Okay.
And Jyn Erso was abandoned by Saw Gerrera as a kid.
Oh, she was still very young then. Okay, 5BBY. Okay, okay.
Yeah, 5BBY. So, I think that's pretty much the nitpick for 5BBY. But so Morlana 1, we see... What do you think about the planet as a whole?
We didn't see much of it. It was basically...
It's definitely not Coruscant.
It's definitely... Yeah. Okay, so I was going to say when we first saw it that, hey, this seems like it's Coruscant. I was about to say it, but then it's really not. It has a lot of low-lying structures.
Yeah.
It feels more like the planet in the second movie was this, where C-3PO has his memory wiped. That movie. So it was that planet where C-3PO gets his memory erased.
You're talking about the planet in The Rise of Skywalker, I think.
Right, was it? Yes, and where they were translating the dagger. Yeah. So that seemed more like that planet. And yeah, it was simple, and I like the way they set the tone with this scene and with this star system, basically. And just to get things off in a not so subtle way.
Yeah, true. My nitpick for it, I think Morlana 1 looks like some sort of comfortable Tatooine borderline mini Coruscant. Tatooine minus the sand, and Coruscant minus the tall buildings. It's just the buildings are very...
Anakin would have loved it here.
Oh yeah, definitely. Alright, so we see our main actor, our main character, Cassian, goes into a bar or some sort of bar.
Bar, brothel, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So he's looking for this girl from Kinari. So we don't know the planet, or it might be a city. At that time, I don't know, but then again, it's stated as a small midrim system, so it's a planet, all right, based on research. And Kinari is not that well known. So, what do you think about the scene wherein he gets, you know, these two guys? We don't know at the time that they were security officers of the corporation that handles, you know, Morlana 1 or that. Operates in the planet. They were kind of dissing him about, you know, just random stuff.
We thought it was pretty random. Like, they didn't have to start trouble. I mean, from the looks of Cassian, like how he looks, like what did they expect him to have? Like, did they expect him to have a lot of money? Just going into a brothel, and you know.
So we find out
later that he did have some money, you know. Well, this will be a lucky day, you know. And them getting their asses kicked, and Cassian accidentally killing a guy. I think it was because of the ricochet of the laser. I didn't even see it was so quick. They didn't even show it, maybe.
The fight scene wherein it happened outside the brothel, it was very quick and subtle. It was just, you know, they thought those two... Well, you forgot to mention the girl that entered, that entertained Cassian first. Basically told that those two dudes are like, you don't want any trouble with them. They're security of the corporation. And it says that, quote unquote, they feel like they're soldiers, but they're not. You know, they act like police, but they're tough, not. They're just, you know, tough, security officers.
Tough beat for cops being bad.
Oh yeah, true. All right, at least in Star Wars. So we go back to what you said. It was very quick. I didn't even catch how he killed the guy. accidentally. I just thought the guy just got knocked out, and then
but we did see how
he killed the other guy, the fat dude.
Killed him.
Like the fat dude was even like trying to negotiate for his life.
But then again,
as a character like Cassian at that time, who wasn't, I think, based on the first episode, wasn't a rebel yet, was this dude might rat me out, you know, and I'll get more in more trouble than I am right now. So he just kills the guy without like hesitating, you know. He didn't even like, you could have just like, all right, let's go, and then you just, you know, maybe second guess and just killed him then. But no, he just like shot him in the face, man.
His hand wasn't even shaking.
Yeah, I mean, from all the characters in Star Wars that's not a Sith, he's pretty brutal, man. He just shoots people in the face, just like in Rogue One. Spoilers alert if you haven't watched that movie, but I guess you should have.
It explains his behavior in Rogue One, right? Like how he is.
Yeah.
With himself, like he had some baggage with him, and we're seeing it here in this first conflict. In the first scene of the first episode. Yeah.
To be honest, last nitpick about that, I thought that I thought with his reaction of killing the guy, the last guy, you know, the fat guy. Sorry, I'm not like, you know, body shaming people, but you know, that's the only description I can think of. There's no name. But all right, so the only thing I could think of at the moment was Cassian like used to doing this stuff, like killing people, all right?
Yeah,
but then again, we got the reaction like he, no, it was an accident. Like he can't believe he killed someone. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it was like, it showed us, episode one showed us how he became, you know, the Cassian in Rogue One. Just what you said. This is the first time he killed, maybe the first time they killed a person.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, with intention, you know. So he goes back to Ferrix, you know, the planet that he's, you know.
He stays in, basically.
So in Ferrix, he talks to this new droid.
I like this guy.
B2EMO. Yeah. So, yeah. So basically,
Wally.
Wally. He looks like Wally, man. But it's all right. What do you think about Ferrix first before we go to B2EMO?
So this is where it gets a little westerny for me. So it feels a bit like the opening scene in the Mandalorian series, the first season of the Mandalorian. So it feels like that, but it's more urban, more condensed, more closer to each other. Right away, this exchange with the droid, it seems like he needs to cover up some things, and there's some stories he needs to get straightened out, and he was already thinking about how to have an alibi and how to resolve his current trouble. Yeah.
So what I think is what the show failed to show us is that him escaping Morlana One. Because to be honest, when we first watched it, I thought it was the same place.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, you know, so B2EMO, which is, we'll just call him B, his nickname, is a droid that looks like Wall-E. But he's red, and he has his defensive and offensive capabilities. You see the armor. It's a very weird droid. But then again, you know, Disney, which introduces droids a lot in their shows, you know, ever since they acquired Star Wars, we got BB-8.
Disney
and a lot of droids.
Disney needs new toys.
But then again, for me as a figure collector, you know, them releasing frequently gets me less into the character. It's like,
I understand.
For decades, we only had R2-D2 and C-3PO. And with those decades, we learned to love them. But for BB-8, we only had two movies in a span of like, what, four years?
Yeah.
And then we get another droid. But anyways, so B is
B fights off a pair of rabid pigs. Yeah.
Rabid pig dogs. Yeah. As I remember.
Whatever those are.
So we now know. Actually, B mentions Cassian's real name. It was Kasa. If you remember. Yeah.
I thought it was a nickname because in British culture, that's sort of a nickname. Like your name Gabriel would be Gabba or something like that.
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney is known as Waza. So I thought it was like a nickname, but apparently it's his real name.
Yeah, and then we go to the flashback.
Says it
because mentioning Kasa.
Yeah, as a real name. As his original
real name. Yeah, so he has his sister with her, with him, saying his name, Kasa. So based on research, his sister's name's Carrie. All right. Okay. I don't think so. It's just like no mention. Based on research, so we see, assuming this is Kinari, Cassian's home planet, we see the culture and then a ship crashing in the distance. You know,
it gave me a little bit of Lord of the Flies vibe, having no adult supervision wherever.
Oh yeah, true. Or Peter Pan,
Lost Boys.
Yeah. So I wonder what happened to the adults. And you know, my nitpick when we were watching, I told you that it gave us that South American, you know, Amazonian vibe.
Right. Yeah. Like more, you know, Amazonian jungle feel to it.
Yeah, jungle feel. So again. So we cut again the flashback, and then we see Cassian. We're back at the present, and then Cassian goes to his friend Brasso. All right, mm-hmm. So we see he goes to this kind of workplace where there's a lot of gloves in the wall. You know, I really like the aesthetics of the show. It was very detailed. Knowing that this show used less CGI, less green screen. Gives me, you know, it kind of gives us a new feel with, you know, Star Wars as a whole.
I like the less CG things.
Yeah. Minus the, you know, ships and, you know, space scenes, because you can't really film that. All right. So what do you think about, you know, Brasso and the alibi, as I call it?
I love the scene. I love this dialogue between them. And what we can all conclude here was that Cassian is not an asshole. He's not a bad guy. He has these bonds, existing relationships that he has with Brasso, and this Brasso guy is willing to you know, lie and to fabricate this story to keep Cassian from getting into trouble, whatever that trouble may be. So he has these established bonds with other characters.
Yeah, it's like a no questions asked type of deal. But yeah, so I like this scene just because I agree with you with that. But you know, you see how nervous he is, you know? He's worried about him being arrested, you know. And so we go back to the scene we're in after that. So the takeaway for me for that scene is where his friend Brasso actually makes up the story on how he got the injury. Yeah. You know, it was really good. Fantastic. So we go back to Morlana One.
The corporate team,
Yeah, so we get introduced to this young officer, Cyril Karn, all right, who to me actually gives off a Star Trek vibe.
Wow, that's a good one. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, gives a yeah.
Vulcan. He's a little Vulcan.
Yeah. I never watched Star Trek, but it gives me Star Trek vibes. So shout out to the Star Trekkie fans there. All right, so we get introduced to Cyril Karn, and he's talking to a higher up about a murder of two of his officers. Right. And then the higher up just says, "Oh, I know the other dude. They might have just like you know they might have angered you know the wrong person, and you know they got killed." So it was just like,
yeah. What I'm getting from this scene is that the supervisor, the superior officer, is just. I think what he's saying is that I see the big picture here, and it's not worth for us digging deeper into this. So, just let it go, man. Just let
the officer or what was it called? Just the higher officer wanted to cover up because he was going into an imperial. Hearing or something, or like an evaluation committee,
a boardroom meeting or something.
Yeah, like a boardroom meeting with the Imperials, very corporate, where he will report, you know, the overall status of violence and crime within, you know, the system. And I guess, you know, as a corporation, you don't want the Empire monopolizing the industry and getting rid of the private sector, you know. You know this, you know, in real life, you know, it gives off, you know, in real life that's how it works, how the government and private corporations work together, you know, to have a win-win situation, if you get what I mean. So but this guy who's like not top management, not even maybe high management, maybe like middle management, Cyril Karn, disobeys the order and still tries to found out and investigate about, you know, Cassian. Well, he's not known yet.
He's one of those annoying straight A students. I mean, not all straight A students are annoying, but this guy has to be one of those guys.
Yeah, true. So anyways, we go back to Ferrix, wherein Cassian pays Bix, the woman mechanic, her friend, in a shop where he's trying to sell off this Imperial technology, or as it based in research, an untraceable NS9 Starpath unit. So according to research, this particular technology can be used to track the Imperial fleet undetected. Okay. So Bix has some communication with you know, a buyer of this particular technology, and we get to see who this buyer is in the next episodes that we're going to talk about. But yeah, so Bix wants to sell. Bix contacts, you know, tries to is convinced and tries to contact, you know, the buyer, as they call it. So we go back to the flashback. So the children, the oldest of the children, the batch in Kinari, yeah, they were doing like tribal stuff, and I thought, to be honest with you, the staff, I thought it's gonna, like, you know, in Thor, where in the staffs like shoot laser beams, but then again, it's just like, you know, yeah. So you'll see what it does. Guys, we'll talk about it in the next episodes, but yeah, so it was just they went on a mission to go to the wreckage. And Cassian was, you see how young he was, and he wasn't even included in Circle except for that I think the oldest gal who was like the tribe leader. I don't know.
She's like the acting leader or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe of the children. He made be a female Peter Pan of the Lost Boys. But
yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So yeah, you can come. So he does like this, tries to imitate the older children. And yeah, all right, so we go back to it was a very fast paced series, to be honest. It was like 39 minutes. We go back to there was a bulletin sent out about, because the scene shows that the woman in the brothel rats out that it's a Kinari male.
Yeah.
If you didn't see, we have a lead, sir.
He knows what the story is, so obviously they got the information from the brothel.
All right, another nitpick about this scene is that it starts out with a guy eating blue noodles.
Oh yeah, that's right. The blue noodles. We were like, yeah. Blue, it's blue.
It's blue noodles. All right, blue noodles. It's good. I mean, I saw I think it was X Clips. Shout out to X Clips. Bombastic Clips. I forgot. He kind of, it's not Star Wars until, they could have just placed normal noodles, but it had to be blue.
Blue has to be blue.
It has to be blue. With blue milk, you have to have blue noodles. It's official, guys. Blue stuff, blue food is a Star Wars, thing.
Blue is edible.
Yeah. As a blue is edible.
Earth.
Yeah.
As opposed to Earth.
I mean, blue, even in real life, blue cheese is not really that blue, But this, he was like eating blue. And if you didn't notice, it was in a takeout container. Like they were living in New York.
Yeah, that's right.
it's a Chinese takeout. The order of blue noodles.
Order some Blue Panda Express.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was good. It was good. It was a very good detail that they added. So the bulletin is released, and he is wanted. Cassian is, not him specifically, but a Kinari male is not wanted by the Corpos. And we go back to Ferrix, all right? We're in... Cassian is confronted by another character, Nurchi, and an Urodal named Vetch. So the Urodal species is first shown in Star Wars Force Awakens. All right, so it was first shown there in the Disney Star Wars. It wasn't present, the species wasn't present in Lucas's Star Wars, but it was really good. I mean, he wasn't intimidated, he knew what he was doing. The money's still in play, that's what he said. The money's still in play. You can't do this to me, You can't just think, Vetch, did you know about this? Oh, I only agreed to just stand here.
He just stand, he was just stand like, behind you
for intimidation.
I love it.
I love how Cassian knew what they were doing and how he just, guys, I'm just gonna forget about this whole thing. I'm gonna give you your money back. He's kind of a smuggler / type scoundrel, or
yeah, there's a very scavenger Han Solo vibe going
yeah,
there.
True. Yeah. All right, so Bix leaves to run errands. Tim, who was his boyfriend, who was British, he had a British accent. So guys, British accent, American accent, whatever accent it is, it doesn't matter where they live in Star Wars.
That's right. Yeah.
So I guess they don't have any explanation for that. But so one nitpick is to contact the buyer, he goes to this like shop and he's told, I'm going to buy a Bendline mesh tech filter. That is a signal of, that is a code wherein he's going to use the hidden communicative device to contact the buyer. From off-world.
Okay.
All right, so a nitpick for that, the Bendline tech filter is from an XR-12 spacecraft. During the time of the Galactic, it's a spacecraft during the time of the Galactic Republic, and one of those ships, the Satellite Liberator, which was an XR-12 spacecraft. was seen. It ended up with Watto on Tatooine and his junk shop.
Oh, and Watto. Okay.
Yeah, so. All right, so we go back to, what do you call this? The flashback, all right? So we see how they stumbled upon, they were continuing the journey to the wreckage, and then we see a young Cassian look into the Imperial mining operation. It's like it's like the terraces from Banawe, but it's mining.
Which was kind of hard.
Yeah, it's barren, and I think for me, my nitpick with it was I think it it tells us what happened to the adults.
Okay.
So I don't know if they were enslaved, killed. Or, I think I made an assumption that they were enslaved to do this. I mean, they're just children. Where's the adults? Why are they going after the wreckage?
That's right.
Why are they like, even like female, you know, in olden times wherein men go out and then the female remains in the tribe. Yeah. But then again, this tribe only has children, which doesn't explain the whole thing. Where are the adults?
The women as well are also where the men are. So it's kind of...
Yeah.
We don't know. So
we don't know yet. So I think that's pretty much it. So what do you think about the episode one of Andor?
Yeah, so with that ending, so it's basically more questions, which I think is a really good first episode. It gives you the groundwork, but lays out like a path that you don't know where it leads yet. So I have more questions from this episode, and I'm anticipating, and it wants you to watch the next episode. So I think
that
it's
a really good
first episode for the series.
I mean, Disney actually released three, you know, episodes that we're going to also have a breakdown episode for episodes two and three. But for me, this episode actually bombarded us with a lot of information, which, as you said, lays in the groundwork for the series as a whole. Because we know that this series will have two seasons, confirmed two seasons, and has 12 episodes each. So it's going to be a long series, you know. But, you know, if you haven't watched it, guys, please do watch it in Disney Plus. It is out right now. And a new episode, episode 4, will be shown next week. Was it October? Let me check the calendar. No, September 29th, as I recall. But yeah, please watch out for the next two episode breakdowns. Thank you for watching, guys. Follow us on TikTok at Trooper Archives. Of course, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to Trooper Archives, and ring that notification bell for you to get notified about new episodes. And any final words, Ace?
Just thanks to everyone for watching, and see you in the next episode. Everything we do for the rebellion.
Yes. All right. See you guys.
Bye, guys.